United States has just faced the highest spike in homelessness rates on record, and that's directly tied to the decline of the American middle class. New numbers suggest that middle-income families are the hardest hit by the ongoing housing crisis. Right now, the number of evictions and foreclosures is hitting sky highs as affordability issues continue to worsen. And about 3 in 4 middle-class households can no longer afford current housing prices. That's according to the National Association of Realtors, which reported that in the last quarter, housing affordability has dropped to the lowest level in data back to 1989 at just 87.7 points. Compared to a historic average of 93.2 points. U.S. families are coping with the most expensive mortgage payments they've seen since 2000. And this trend is keeping home ownership out of the reach of nearly 90 million Americans in 2023. NAR's chief economist, Lawrence Young, says that although home prices are falling in many areas of the country, rising mortgage rates continue to harm affordability. Consequently, the Federal Reserve is widening the social divide by preventing middle-income renters from ownership opportunities, Young stressed. Nadia Evangelou, NAR's senior economist and director of real estate research, notes that middle-income buyers are facing the largest shortage of homes among all income groups, and that's making it even harder for them to build wealth through home ownership. The association released a new report that shows that more than 75% of homes on the market are now too expensive for middle-income families. Researchers highlighted that workers earning up to $75,000 per year could afford just 23% of all listed properties in the United States. This is a massive decline from just 5 years ago, when 50% of listings were within the reach of middle-class households. It's now down to 23%. The data is both disappointing and devastating, says Joanna Smith-Romani, co-executive director of the Aspen Institute Financial Security Program. But it's not really surprising at all. Housing affordability and shortage issues wouldn't be so severe if there were enough homes for all price ranges, adds Evangelou. For low-income workers, the gap is even wider. For every 100 properties listed, only 11 homes can fit on the budget of low-wage workers. Some companies, such as real estate marketplace Zillow, are trying to boost sales activity by introducing a 1% down payment option in an attempt to make private ownership of properties a more realistic option for low- and middle-income Americans. But with the overwhelming majority of properties unaffordable for the average family, the efficacy of such an offering is being put in question, especially as inventory remains low and corporate dominance continues to rise. On top of that, with 30-year fixed mortgage rates now firmly above 7.5%, the average monthly mortgage payment has significantly surged this year, adding an extra $1,100 to the cost of owning a median-priced home. Redfin's chief economist predicts that rates are not going to dip below 6% for at least another 6 months, creating a challenging environment for both buyers and for sellers. At this point, existing homeowners, many of whom financed their properties during the last decade's ultra-low interest rates, are hesitant to list their homes and be forced to face higher payments to get a new property, and that's further contributing to an already strained housing supply. The shortage of homes is so extreme that some shocking distortions are happening in the market right now. In areas where the demand for homes is largely outpacing the available supply, middle-class homes are being listed for a whopping $1 million. A study by Redfin found that 8.6% of listed houses in the U.S. were worth seven figures in August. Of the 90 million homes studied by the firm, approximately 7.46 million units were over a cool million. A separate report from LendingTree showed that in California, some cities have larger shares of million-dollar homes than properties under that mark. For example, the percentage of homes over $1 million was 66.28% in San Jose and 52.91% in San Francisco. Los Angeles followed at 26.48%, San Diego at 23.15%, and Seattle at 10.70%. These numbers underscore how in many parts of the country, million-dollar homes are not necessarily luxurious. They're actually normal properties, according to LendingTree's senior economist, Jacob Channel. There are a lot of areas at this point where million-dollar homes have not only become more common, they've also, for lack of a better term, become more middle-class, he said. This development exposes how expensive a lot of housing markets can be and what kind of housing people can expect to encounter in those markets. These homes are not huge, only a few bedrooms and modest amenities, Channel stressed. With prices rising far faster than people's incomes, more and more families are in danger of losing their homes amid an explosion in the number of foreclosure filings. Facing job losses, higher auto loans, student loan repayments, medical debt, and other financial setbacks, hundreds of thousands of homeowners were unable to pay their mortgages in the past 12 months, and now they're having their properties repossessed. In the first half of the year alone, foreclosure starts shot up 15%, according to real estate data provider Adams Mid-Year 2023 U.S. Foreclosure Market Report. Nearly 186,000 properties across the country received foreclosure filings during that period. The highest jump in foreclosure numbers happened in Maryland, where they doubled compared to 2022 levels. In Oregon, they soared by 99%. In Alaska, foreclosure filings surged by 95%, and they rose by 83% in West Virginia, 72% in Arkansas. In the last month, when adding up notices of default, repossession by banks, and auctions on the calendar, the U.S. Foreclosure Market Report found 35,196 American properties with foreclosure filings. Evidently, foreclosure is never a good sign. Back in 2008 and 2009, it was a stark symbol of the Great Recession, and they're signaling once again that a serious downturn is underway. While the official inflation rate is ticking down, the cost of groceries, gas, rent, and other necessities is still going up, taking a toll on many household budgets. By and large, Americans' paychecks haven't been able to keep pace. As of September 4th, the national median rent price stood at $2,038. Data from rent.com shows that's awfully high when considering the national median income is only $54,132, and that's before taxes, of course. In other words, people are spending on average $24,456 a year on rent. No wonder eviction rates are climbing across the nation in the third quarter. Princeton University's Eviction Lab reported that the average number of eviction filings jumped 50% above the normal 2019 average. That's before the pandemic and the boom that led home and rent prices to rise by more than 40% in just 3 years. This is particularly concerning for middle-class Americans, considering that they do not qualify for government assistance while being expected to bear the brunt of rent increases. Another disturbing trend that is putting middle-income earners in a very vulnerable financial condition and hampering their access to reliable and steady housing is the steep rise in medical debt. Experts with Axios reported that middle-class Americans are the most likely to be saddled with medical debt, with nearly 1 in 4, roughly 17 million people, having unpaid medical bills. Middle-income households, who earn $50,000 to $100,000 a year, are more likely than those with lower incomes to seek care, but don't qualify for Medicaid or charity care to help pay for it. Today, over 100 million people in the United States are saddled with health care debt, and oftentimes the hit on their credit score makes finding housing incredibly hard. That's the case with Casey Atiencio, who had a heart attack when he was 19 and was unable to rent an apartment for years because of bad credit attributed in part to thousands of dollars of medical debt. Atiencio lamented, "It always felt like I just couldn't get a leg up." He is just one of millions of Americans whose access to housing is threatened by medical debt. Many workers are forced to make painful sacrifices, such as cutting back on food, taking on extra work, or draining retirement savings. Such housing struggles are hardly unique. During an interview with NPR, Jim and Cindy Powers, who live in Greeley, a small city north of Denver, said they saw their own housing dreams collapse after Cindy was diagnosed with a life-threatening condition that required multiple surgeries and left the couple with more than $250,000 in medical debt. When the couple declared bankruptcy, the settlement protected their home. However, their mortgage was sold, and the new lender rejected the payment plan. They ended up losing the house. Similarly, 40-year-old Lindsay Vance still can't buy a house because of medical debts. She and her husband have a six-figure income, but medical bills for even routine care that she's struggled to pay since her 20s have depressed her credit score, making it difficult to get a loan. "We're stuck in a holding pattern," she said. Instead of building equity via home ownership, the family remains unable to qualify for a mortgage, and they're spending more than 30% of their income on rent every month. That's also what 50% of renters nationwide have been dealing with in recent months. Moody's Analytics data indicates that the average renter is now cost-burdened, having to direct 30% of their pay towards rent, while about 25% of workers are spending 50% of their incomes on rent. The fact that everyday Americans, including teachers, nurses, firemen, and retail workers, can't afford to live in the area in which they work is a sign that something is deeply wrong with the U.S. economy, and it certainly isn't a healthy social situation for our population. Things are getting so bad that even Hollywood actors are facing evictions and seeking for rent assistance in record numbers. The Hollywood Reporter recently exposed the story of David Buck, an actor with credits on sitcoms like Curb Your Enthusiasm, Silicon Valley, who's among those who have procured an emergency rental assistance program not to be evicted by his landlord. "I've almost depleted my entire savings, and I haven't been able to pay my rent the last few months. My building manager and property owners extended me a grace period due to the good social credit I've built up by doing some gardening and landscaping in our building's common area. However, in early August, I received an eviction notice from the building's management company taped to my front door," the actor revealed. "It's downright humbling as an adult to come to find you've reached the limit of your own self-sufficiency and that it's time to ask for help," Bach admitted. "Everyone I know is hurting right now," he added. "When it comes to cost-cutting and saving, you can get lean in almost every other aspect of life. But when it comes to rent, that's a bill that has to be paid in full." Sadly, the number of homeless Americans has just reached a new record. According to data analyzed by the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. homeless population has grown by 11% in the first 8 months of the year. That is the largest increase in at least 15 years. On a given night, about 600,000 people sleep on our streets. However, it is estimated that between 3 and 5 million people live in homeless encampments or tent cities or are vehicle dwellers because they cannot find affordable housing. While the number of unhoused people continues to rise, the number of middle-class families is steadily shrinking. In fact, U.S. Census Bureau data shows that just 50% of American adults lived in middle-income households last year. That is about 15% lower than the number of middle-class families in the 1970s. Back then, rents, as a share of income, were far lower, and homelessness was rare in the United States. Housing was often available in buildings where individuals would rent private rooms but share kitchens, share bathrooms, or common spaces. These low-cost units helped stave off homelessness because someone earning low wages or receiving disability benefits could usually afford to rent a private room. But over the past few decades, zoning or building code restrictions in most cities prevented more of these units from being developed, and city governments encouraged their conversion into other uses. Now, home builders are mostly focused on profit, and constructing units for low-income workers is simply not as lucrative as building luxurious properties. New research by Anytime Estimate exposed that home prices have skyrocketed by 1,608% since 1970, while inflation has increased by 644%. A $20,000 starter home in 1970 would cost $341,600 today. But if home prices grew at the same rate as inflation since 1970, the median home price today would be just $177,788. Meanwhile, $20,000 in assorted goods in 1970 would cost families $148,800 today. In the past two decades alone, overall prices of goods in America have risen 67%. The data shows. Compared to the average baby boomer entering their 30s in 1985, the average millennial entering their 30s right now is coping with a 31% higher home price-to-income ratio. Housing prices have ballooned 393% since 1985, while the average baby boomer in their 30s paid $82,800 for a home. Millennials in their 30s are paying on average $313,000. On the flip side, after adjusting for inflation, the median American household income has rose by just 7% since 2000, which represents a dismal 0.3% increase per year. The American dream is not only getting more expensive, but also unattainable for most Americans. These figures reflect the precipitous decline in people's purchasing power over the last five decades, especially when it comes to home ownership. And they also expose that middle-class families, considered by economists as the foundation of our country, are actually getting closer to homelessness than to fulfilling their dream of owning a home. Thank you for watching. We look forward to reading your comments under this video.